As the book of Joshua opens, you remember the children of Israel have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They failed to obey God back in Numbers 14 when they initially sent spies into the land. You remember that 12 spies were sent and they came back and 10 gave an evil report. I think it's interesting that we don't remember their names, but we certainly remember the names of the two faithful spies, Caleb and the subject of this book, Joshua. As the book opens, Moses has passed from the scene. He's gone on to his reward. Remember, he was unable to enter the promised land because he made a little mistake there along the way in Numbers 20. Instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock and as a result forfeited his opportunity to enter the promised land. There's a whole sermon in and of itself in that passage. So let's begin reading in Joshua 1 and verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. I think that's kind of interesting, that that's pretty succinct funeral message, isn't it? Moses, my servant, is dead. That's all that needed to be said. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, that would be to the north of Israel, the Euphrates to the east, and to the great sea, which would be to the west, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So here's Joshua. The Lord is speaking to him, telling him, as the now he's the leader of Israel, to go in and take the land that was promised way back to Father Abraham, which would have been at least 550 years before this. As we look at this, I have never preached a New Year's resolution sermon, and this really isn't a New Year's resolution sermon, but in this lesson, what I want to focus on are verses 7, 8, and 9, where God gives a prescription, if you will, to Joshua, and I would call it a prescription for spiritual success. And if my count is right, there are seven things that the Lord tells Joshua to, and it would do us well as we face 2018 to do these seven things in our life as well. So he says there in verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. I can imagine that Joshua approached this position with a little bit of trepidation, knowing the fickleness of the children of Israel. But he was strong in the faith, and he had already demonstrated that before when he was one of the two faithful spies. Now here's the beginning of the prescription, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. So that would be my first point of the lesson. The road to spiritual success, we have to suck it up and be a man, so to speak. Be strong. In our Bible study this morning, we read from 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, and the King James says, be strong, quit ye like men. Behave like men, behave like mature people. And that's what we have to do to find spiritual success. Let's turn over to the Ephesian letter. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul gives us some very important guidelines, admonition, if you will. If we would be successful spiritually, we have to take up the whole armor of God. In verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Well, how are we going to be strong? In the power of his might, Paul. Verse 11 tells us, put on the whole armor of God. Not just parts and pieces, but the whole thing. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles there, there's a footnote in my Bible at least, it has describes that as schemings. The devil always has some sort of a scheme that he's directed personally at you and I. He has schemes he uses against you. He has schemes he uses against me to try to get us to fall away. And if we don't put on this whole armor of God, then we are totally exposed. We see even soldiers today, they wear the body armor and the helmet and so forth. They don't want to be exposed to the enemy. So they take defensive measures as well as offensive measures. And that's what we have to do spiritually speaking. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hostness in the heavenly places. I don't know how to describe that much better than just what is given there. I do remember when you read the book of Daniel, for example. I believe it's in Daniel 10 and 11. Daniel has a conversation with an angel. And this angel's describing a battle, spiritual battle that's going on unseen by human eyes. And I think that might be something that Paul is referring to here. There's unseen spiritual battle going on where the devil and his helpers are striving to get all of us to fall away. And again, the importance of taking on the whole armor of God. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That's where it starts. We have to abide in the truth. We are sanctified by the truth, Jesus said, John 17 and verse 17. We have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And of course, we put on that breastplate of righteousness by doing the things that God has ordained that make us righteous, the obedience to the various aspects of his will for us. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we have to protect our feet as we walk in this life, that we don't walk off of the pathway of righteousness. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. But every time I read that verse, I think of a soldier with a shield, and there's flaming arrows coming, and he's using that sword to ward them off. And we do the same thing spiritually with faith. And take the helmet of salvation, my Bible's kind of torn here, which is the word of God, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's our only offensive weapon, but what a weapon it is. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. So not only must we take on those accoutrements of battle, but also engage ourselves constantly in prayer. Okay, back to Joshua. So our first aspect of spiritual success is to be strong and very courageous, not just courageous, but very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it, from the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So our second one there, be strong. First, be courageous. Second, in Deuteronomy 31, the previous book before the book of Joshua, Moses encourages the children of Israel to be courageous. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel, 31:1. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og. Those were the kings that they defeated on the east side of Jordan, the kings of the Amorites in their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Now notice verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. With the Lord on our side, we can accomplish anything that the Lord wills us to accomplish. In Acts 28 and verse 15, we don't talk about that chapter of Acts very much, at least I've never done it. But Paul is now on his journey, arrived in Italy. And he meets the brethren in this place called Three Inns. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. We gain a lot of courage by encouraging one another. And that's a very important thing for us to remember. It's always been interesting to me, if you turn over to Revelation 21, the Lord talks about those that will be lost. And it's interesting to me who mentions right in the beginning of this verse, but the cowardly, that's the opposite of the courageous, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's always kind of struck me that cowards are in the same category as murderers, adulterers, idolaters, and liars. I think that goes back, for example, all the way back to the book of Joshua here. What happened to those 10 spies that were cowards? Remember what their fate was? They were executed. And so we have to have courage. And that's trusting God. Okay, that's point number two. Point number three is that we observe to do according to all the law. Let's again look in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 28. I would encourage you to read that entire chapter. And you might want to mark down at the beginning of chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, Leviticus 26. They're parallel passages. This is a speech that Moses gives the children of Israel just before he dies. And the gist of the speech is very simple, even though it's long. If you obey God, if you do what he says, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be able to defeat your enemies. But if you don't obey, you're not going to be blessed. And your enemies are going to overtake you. So let's just read a few verses. Verse 1 says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, and that was the point being made in Joshua 1 and verse 7, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You shall be blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground and increase of your herds, increase of your cattle, and so forth. So that's the blessings of obedience. In verse 15, he shifts gears and talks about the flip side of that coin. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. If you obey, blessings will take you. If you don't obey, curses will overtake you. You'll be cursed in the city, cursed in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, talking about the food. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land and your flocks and your cattle and so forth. We need to remember that and apply that daily in our lives. Remember how Jesus answered Satan. His first answer was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm very fond of a passage in the book of Job. Turn over there to Job 23. We need to develop the attitude towards God's word that Job had. In Job 23, in verse 12, Job says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. That's God's lips. Now notice, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What a wonderful example to follow. We need food how often? We eat at least 3 meals a day. Some of us probably a little more from time to time. And we need food often. So we need the word of God just as much. It's the bread of life, as Jesus tells us. In 1 John chapter 2, if we would make a claim that we know God, what do we have to do? We have to keep his commandments. 1 John 2 and verse 3. Now by this we know him, by this we know that we know him, if, you might want to underscore that, highlight that word, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Over the years, I've had the privilege and opportunity to study the Bible with a lot of good people. But when push came to shove, they just wouldn't keep all of God's commandments. They would keep some, but not all of them. So their claim to knowing God was a false claim. If we know him, we'll keep his commandments. We'll keep all of his commandments. And very importantly, in this same book, in 1 John 5 and verse 3, John tells us that this is the love of God. What is the love of God, John? That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Some folks just look at as God is wanting to steal all of the fun out of life, and that's not true of all. His commandments are not designed merely to please him, put him on some kind of a power trip, that he's dangling us at the end of a string. His commandments are designed for our good. He knows exactly what is best for us, and that's what he's asking when he asks us to obey him. So, we need to be strong, we need to be very just, we need to observe, to do according to all of the law. Then fourth, here in Joshua 1 and verse 7, do not turn from it, that is from the law, to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Again, I would hearken back to 1 John 2. How do we know if we know him? If we keep his commandments. John 14 and verse 15, the Gospel of John. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's turn over to that Gospel of John. There's another passage. It's a simple one, but I have trouble quoting it. Instead of John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. This one's easy to remember because it's John 15 and verse 14. You just transpose the chapter and the verse. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. We sing the song, I'll be a friend to Jesus. Well, how do I show my friendship? I showed that friendship through obedience to his word. As we think of his word, the psalmist said it's a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. It's designed to keep us from straying from the road that leads to heaven. In 2 John 9, John talks about not that we must abide in the doctrine of Christ and not transgress it. The idea there of transgressing is deviating from the path, either way. If you've ever driven in the rain and looked in your rearview mirror at your tire tracks, sometimes you feel like you're going just as straight as can be, but the front wheels and the rear wheels don't always line up, even though you think you're going straight. You have to really focus on staying on the road, and the same is true as we serve God. So be strong, be very courageous, observe to do according to the law. Do not turn from it, that's his commandments, either to the right hand or to the left. Now verse 8 tells us, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. I think meditation is one of the forgotten things that many of us don't do as often as we should. It's not enough just to read God's word and gain knowledge. We have to think about it. A passage that comes to mind is in Philippians chapter 4. Paul tells us to think about some things. In Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Where are we going to find those things? Of course, we find them in the Word of God. So we need to think about it. We need to meditate on it day and night in the Psalms. Psalm chapter 1. The Psalms start out with that idea. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now notice the last half of that verse. And in his law he meditates day and night. What's going to be the result of that? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. In Psalm 119, the psalmist expresses some similar thoughts. Psalm 19 is the longest of the psalms, and mainly has to do with God's word. But in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 14, the psalmist says, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. If we don't meditate on God's word as we should, it's going to be easy for us to forget it. And you remember what did Jesus do when he was in a tight situation in Matthew 4? He quoted scripture. He remembered God's word because it was on his mind. Point number 6 is also in verse 8. And it's a repeat of an earlier thought. He says that we should meditate in his word day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I don't think it's a mistake that he basically mentions the same idea twice, that we need to be careful to observe all of God's word, all according to what is written. And I think that's significant as well. Remember when we studied 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're not to go beyond the things that are written. We have to keep our focus on the Word. The review that we had this morning of 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, they had this problem of division in the church. And what was the prescription? That they be of the same mind and the same judgment, that they speak the same things. And that can only be accomplished when we don't go beyond what is written. We stick with the Scriptures. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. We can't add to or take away from God's Word. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. We need to remember those principles that we studied in 1 Corinthians 2, that the Word of God is the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. So what's the conclusion? If we're going to show our love for God, we're going to abide only in what is written. We're not going to try to second guess God. In Ephesians 3, 1 to 5, Paul talks about the things that are written. They were revealed to him through the Holy Spirit. He wrote those things down so that when we read, we can have the same understanding as an inspired apostle. Then the final point, the final step to spiritual success is again this idea of not being afraid. In verse 8, again, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, back to Revelation 21 and verse 8, who will be lost into that lake of fire? Murderers, adulterers, idolaters, and the cowardly. Turn over to Psalm 27, a familiar psalm to us, but let's notice how that psalm begins. The psalmist says in verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Obviously nobody, if the Lord is our light and our salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No need to be afraid of anyone. The wicked came against me to eat up my flesh. My enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. Remember Jesus in Matthew 10 and verse 28. Fear not him which can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. We need to take courage from the fact that the Lord is always with us. Turn over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. The Hebrew writer admonishes us to let our conduct be without covetousness and be with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Man can only destroy this body. He can't destroy my soul. Then in Romans chapter 8, as Paul begins winding up that wonderful chapter, in verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God has already demonstrated that he will help us overcome the most difficult enemy that we have, the enemy we can't overcome by ourselves. He's demonstrated that, so he's not going to let us down on smaller things. Who shall bring against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? None of these things can. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. On that great day, we'll each receive that crown of life, and all of those that were our enemies, spiritually speaking, will see us as conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's go back to Joshua for the conclusion of our lesson. Remember, the thought was the keys to spiritual success. Be strong, be courageous, observe to do according to all of the law. Do not turn from his commandments, either to the right hand or to the left. Meditate on them day and night. Do according to all that is written. We have to stick with what's written. And do not be afraid or dismayed. And what's the result? The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's a successful thing, isn't it? If you're here tonight and you are not on the path to spiritual success, we encourage you to do that. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. If you are a Christian and you're faithful as you should be, we encourage you to change that and become faithful this very night. If there's any way that we can assist you, please come forward as we stand and sing.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be